Charles Benson is the chief political reporter for TMJ4 and the senior national political reporter for Scripps News. And Charles is with us in the studio. Always good to see you, Charles.
Great to be here.
Mandela Barnes, not really a surprise, decides that he is in the race. He makes it official this week. How does that change the dynamic for guys like David Crowley and Sarah Rodriguez and others?
I think it changes the dynamics of the race just because of his name recognition and support that he has from prior elections. You know, he's run statewide four times. He's won three out of those four. But the one that sits in most people's minds is the last one, the 2022 U.S. Senate race, where he loses to Senator Ron Johnson by about 1%. But it's on the same ballot that day that Tony Evers wins by about 3%. So people were looking at those numbers. How come he didn't get it across the finish line? But look, he got 1.6 million, I think, votes it was. He raised millions of dollars. He has this skill set to go out there and open the door pretty wide there for himself. And as we have this crowded field, I think now we're up to about 9 Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, so it becomes a vote that seems that you don't have to get the 50 to get the nomination. He has been in competitive primaries before. We saw that in the U.S. Senate seat, and that's where he was able to go on and become the nominee. For a guy like David Crowley, though, Crowley's going to have to see as he goes through these next few months if there's additional polling on it, if there's additional fundraising. Does he find that they're like, yeah, but we're backing, you know, so on somebody else, and that he just doesn't get a piece of the pie that he's going to need to stay competitive? The same will be of the others. But that's why Mandela comes in and will have a fast start, but it's a long race.
So, Charles, yes, Mandela does bring the name recognition. But what are some of the knocks on him, the early knocks on him, besides not being able to win the last election he was a part of?
You know, I don't know if you want to call him knocks, but he has a record out there. He has said a lot of things, you know, that people can see on videos. They played them pretty prominently in the U.S. Senate race. So will those be seen as, yeah, that's different. That was a long time ago. How does he now navigate himself to being a guy who can say what you saw in 2022? I was running for the U.S. Senate seat, but you know, what skill set will he be able to say that will resonate with voters to say, I now want to be the governor. I want to be the CEO of the state, not just a legislator in Washington as a U.S. senator. So I think his priorities, I was with him yesterday. He was holding an event where he went and talked to some moms about, you know, healthcare, cost of living, you know. So he's going to start out there talking to people and seeing what his message is going to be. And I know one of the things I think all of these candidates are going to pivot to is the new buzzword, affordability, you know, cost of living. And it worked well for Democrats in the November election in, I will argue, you know, largely blue states, or have been blue states. But how will that play in Wisconsin? That's a more evenly divided state, especially now a year from now. Where are we on the cost of living? Where are we on affordability?
Polling continues to show, Charles, including in Marquette, that folks are worried about affordability. And they talk about things like inflation, the economy, the cost of things in the grocery store. How do Republicans combat that if Democrats say, look, things are a lot more expensive than they were a year ago?
Yeah, so I looked at that Marquette poll, too. It was a national poll, and, you know, all adults, you know, cost of living, Trump's approval rating on that was at 28. That's pretty low. Yep. Even among Democrats, his approval rate was 56. Among Democrats, it was 4%, right?
I mean,
It's a big issue, and it's the number one issue. People ask, you know, what is the most important issue to you? Inflation and the cost of living. Look, I had a chance today to talk to Kevin Hassett. He is in the White House. He is President Trump's director of the National Economic Council, and I asked him about this. You know, people, you can drive by a gas station and save a lot of money these days because the price of gas is down. But then if you're going to go to the grocery store, and then if you're going to go out to eat, if you're going to go buy presents, you know, people feel like, well, that's where the prices don't feel like they're down. They're lower. Has inflation cooled off? Yeah. I mean, it's running at around, what, 3% is, you know, and so the White House is saying they believe we just came off a big successful Black Friday, you know, record number of people going out and shopping. So if people were being, you know, hurt financially, they're saying wages are up.
Right.
They're able to, you know, meet the needs of going out and doing some holiday shopping. But this issue is very real. It's so real now that I think the president is going on the campaign trail. Well, not the campaign trail, but he's going to go out to Pennsylvania and start talking more about this issue. Remember, this week he's saying, you know, the Democrat, he's calling the Democrats, this is a con job by the Democrats. But I think it's a real issue, and how he continues to try to navigate that. He says he wants to be the affordability president, you know, that things become more affordable. And that's going to be the question for folks. Are they paying less? Do they feel they can buy more? Are their dollars being stretched? The Affordable Care Act and people paying for health insurance, all these things they see as potentially costing them more. So at the end of the day, when you go that month, how much did you spend? Well, yeah, maybe you're spending less for eggs and gas, but you're spending more on other things.
Charles, one thing that really caught my attention is the timing. Why do you think that it took so long for Mandela to declare that he wanted to be in this race?
Look, we've talked about this before, and I think a lot of candidates, a lot of us on this side of the microphone, you know, we think politics 24/7. The public does not. So we're like, gee, what took you so long? You know, why now? If anybody had time to think about it or wait to get in, you know, Mandela would have had that time, because he doesn't have to worry about getting out there. How am I going to get a team in place? Who he has a
he already
list.
Yes, okay,
he has
correct.
A voter mm-hmm. list. I mean, in terms of where he can go find support, he doesn't have to spend that extra time. When Josh Shulman, the Waukesha County executive, announced back in April, I think he's the first one in now. On the Republican side, because we didn't know what Evers was going to do, there is just, you know, he wanted to get in early. He wanted to start establishing, he wanted to start traveling around the state, getting into those counties, getting into those local Republicans, say, look, I'm in this thing. So he has to do more legwork. Mandela Barnes doesn't have to do as much legwork.
Makes sense.
TMJ4 Chief Political Reporter, always great stuff. Charles Benson. Charles, thank you so much.
Great to be here.